Well, morning everybody. Assuming you pick up this podcast in the morning. Of course you may do that at a totally different time of day. I hope you're having a good week. I am reading through Mark's Gospel at the moment. And I always like to do my own Bible reading in company with somebody else. And my companion at the moment is a fantastic 19th century Anglican bishop, J.C. Ryle. He was the Bishop of Liverpool. And he wrote some terrific notes on Mark's Gospel, which I've been looking at as I've been going through and finding most encouraging. And I was particularly encouraged by this bit of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 5. Do you turn to it now? And a particular point that J.C. Ryle drew out on this story from Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read from the middle of verse 24. Down to verse 34. So Mark 5, 24-34. I'll read. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, around Jesus. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Well, I wonder whether you can picture the scene in your mind. Number of things just to focus in on. First, this crowd, this vast crowd around Jesus. Just so much activity around him. So many people bustling around him, pressing in. We know Jesus was very popular by this stage in the gospel. We know that people are hanging on his every word, watching to see what he does. There's always, it seems, a big crowd following along. And, well, same here, not least because, well, Jesus has just been summoned by this guy Jairus, this synagogue ruler whose daughter is dying. And Jesus is travelling with Jairus in this moment as we meet him. And I guess many in the crowd are wondering, what's he going to do in the light of what Jairus has just said about his daughter? So picture the huge crowd, so much activity around Jesus, so many people. But now home in on one figure in particular, this woman. And the only woman in the crowd, we're told, who actually goes to Jesus. Can you picture her? So much activity. But now the camera homes in on just her as we see her get as close to Jesus as she possibly can. And she reaches out and she touches him. And she is the only person in that whole crowd who actually goes to him personally like that. And we can see why, can't we? This poor lady, she's had this awful health issue for 12 years, we're told. This bleeding, which would have made her ceremonially unclean, been so restrictive to her whole life. She's had no help from anybody else, from any of the doctors she's been to. She's absolutely desperate. So she sees Jesus and she goes to him. All that activity, that big crowd, just one person who goes personally to him. But she does. And look what happens. Now we home in on Jesus and we see such power. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her sufferings. You see the power of the Lord Jesus, that he can heal just like that. Do you see his interest in her? The way he stops. He knows what's happened. He calls her out of the crowd. He's not just interested in knowing he's healed someone. He's interested in her as a person. He has time to stop. You can imagine poor Jairus off to the side. He's going absolutely spare. Come on, Jesus, my daughter's dying. Hurry up. What are you doing talking to this woman? You've made her better. She's fine. But Jesus stops. He's got time. It's remarkable. He's always got time for people who go to him for help. And then wonderfully, he commends her for what she's done. Verse 34. He said to her, "Your faith has healed you, daughter. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." He's so pleased with the way she's expressed her faith in being the only person in the crowd who has gone to him. And I found this passage such a challenge and an encouragement, actually, to me, to make sure that in everything that's going on at the moment, I remember to actually go to Jesus. Maybe that's an encouragement, a challenge that you need to. We're busy, aren't we? I don't know. Maybe some of us feel less busy in lockdown. I think I feel busier than ever in many ways. Just exhausted some of the time doing so many things, so many churchy things. It feels like so much activity that we're involved in, perhaps. Maybe even listening to this podcast is activity we're involved in. And it's kind of, it's in the vicinity of Jesus. He's nearby. It's all connected to him somehow. But it's so easy for us to be so busy with stuff bustling around the edge that we forget to actually go to Jesus personally. And that was the encouragement, the challenge that I needed. Maybe you do too. We can't do that physically, can we? We can't sidle up to him and touch him like she did. But well, what does it mean for us? Stopping and praying, talking to him, making sure we listen to him in his word. So those few minutes every day, maybe it's a little longer, maybe it's just a few minutes, where we stop, we deliberately listen, read the Bible and pray to him. Maybe it's those moments during the day when stuff's getting on top of us or something wonderful happens. And it's just remembering in those moments, not just to think, oh yeah, Jesus is over there somewhere, but actually to go to him, to speak to him about those things. It's a fear we've got, perhaps, a worry about a job, or someone we know who we've heard is ill. Well, don't forget to go to Jesus about that, to speak to him about that. Perhaps it's a question. We've got lots of questions, not least, why is this happening? How much longer will it go on? Well, don't forget to take those questions to Jesus. Perhaps it's something we're really grateful for, the good news of little Amelia's birth, perhaps, Amelia Bruce, or a 50th wedding anniversary we've got coming up in the church family in just a couple of days, I think. And just wonderful things in our own lives, things we're grateful for. Don't just be grateful and think, yeah, Jesus is over there. Let's remember to go to him and actually say thank you for those things. Of course, when we go to him with our requests, we've no idea quite whether he will do what we'd hoped for in that moment. But we see here, don't we, as we do in every occasion where someone goes to Jesus in the Gospels, he always does good. No one ever goes away having been done harm by Jesus. We know what he'll do for us as we pray will be good. He has such power. We've seen it here. He has such interest in us, such concern for us as individuals. He loves it when we stop and personally go to him. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are, for what you're like. We thank you for what we've seen of you here, for your power and your kindness, your concern for us as individuals, the way you always have time, the way you love us coming to you personally about things. And we're so sorry about all the times we think we're just so busy, we don't do that, or we forget to do that. We're rushing around, we're concerned about so many things, we forget to come to you personally. Please forgive us and help us even today, in whatever we may face, to remember often to come to you. More and more would that be our first instinct in every situation. We pray in your name. Amen. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, for the way that you have kept us as a church family. We thank you for the generally good health that people are enjoying. We thank you for all the care that people are showing for one another. We do thank you so much for the birth of Amelia to Stephen and Rachel. Help them as a family with little Edward as well, as they adjust to being a family of four. Help them in these days of sleep deprivation to know great joy and thankfulness and your support and strength at every step of the way. We pray for those struggling this week and ask so much that you would be very close to them, for those who are lonely, for those who are stressed, for those facing difficult decisions. Please, would you be close to them? and help them to know that you are. We pray on that you'd be protecting our health workers. And we pray especially at the moment that you'd be protecting our teachers and those who work in schools and are facing difficult decisions about schools opening up more in the next couple of weeks. Give strength, give grace, give wisdom, we pray. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, it's our prayer meeting this evening, Wednesday evening. So do join us for that. Details, including Zoom details, in the email about this podcast. And don't forget to the Friday pandemic prayer meeting at 8:30 a.m., which Michael will be leading again. Details about that and how to join in the email. Have a good day. Speak soon.